What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I feel it. Do you feel it? We feel it collectively. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time. Welcome in the Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. Happy Wednesday, the midweek edition. Set to rock and roll this and every weekday morning from 6 till 10 a.m. on the Fan Upstate. How's everybody? Y'all good? Y'all good? Everybody good? Everybody good? Everybody living their best life, I hope. I hope everybody's well. I am. Not that you asked. It'd have been rude of you not to. My name is Rob Brown. The pleasure, however, is not exclusively mine, because on the other side of the metaphorical glass, the guy in charge of this and every radio program that you've ever listened to anywhere at any point on any station, Colonel Grudge himself, the Sultan of Swag, the Professor of Perfection, the Wizard of Wave, is here. What up, Zoe?
Also Herder of Deer. So, I mean... That's a new title, Herder of Deer.
I feel like you want so much herding is like chasing down the road.
Well, no, they just, they were escorting me to my destination, and there were about 9 of them.
Mm-hmm.
The mama deer or daddy deer, whichever, they bailed. So it was all the younger deer leading me down the road and me wondering, okay, are they going to veer at some point? A bridge is coming up. Are they going all the way over the bridge? What are they doing? They went over the bridge, by the way, and I thought, okay, it cost me a couple minutes as I just stayed back and waited for them to move. I'm not going to beep the horn because I think that would cause panic and also would wake up, you know, people who are still sleeping. I didn't want to do that, but still.
Who are you waking up? You live on a compound.
I do have to go on a road where there are people who live on those roads, and I don't want to wake anybody up. They probably
you have neighborhood deer.
No. It's still out. Listen, farmhouses are still houses, okay? And those farmhouses and those farmers have shotguns, and I'd rather not wake them up with the beeping of a horn while it's driving a highly visible in color car where they could take shots. So no, I'll herd the deer.
Okay. Well, that's how the Great Ones Day started. Anybody else out there having to herd wildlife to start your day? Or is it just the Great One? Have you hit a deer yet?
I don't know if you believe in luck. That's bad luck, probably. No, I've come really close in the last couple weeks.
I hit a deer. I was driving back. You know when I hit a deer? I can tell you exactly when I hit a deer, too.
Around this time.
Hit a deer, what was it, 2000, what was the last that big snowstorm we had, 22, 23, yeah, 22, right? I don't know, whenever that last.
This Friday.
Yeah, well, this Friday. Yes, we're going to get, ladies and gentlemen, 1 inch of snow, which is a lot, I swear. It's the average amount of snow. 1 inch, maybe up to 3 on Saturday. I'm not saying it's nothing. I'm making jokes.
Okay, so a herd typically is 20. So it wasn't a herd.
You saw a small group of deer.
Yes.
That last big snowstorm. That last snow that we had that came through the area.
This is a big snowstorm for this area.
It wasn't not. I was driving back.
Probably a big one for someone from Florida.
Any snow is a big snow for somebody from the beach. We were driving back. The lady and I, hilariously, on that morning, I told her, I was like, look, it's been a couple of years since I've seen snow. Let's go up to Asheville, because Asheville was expected to get snow. And I was like, you know, I brought this brand new, well, I actually was in the Jeep still. I got this four-wheel drive Jeep. Let's go up to Asheville. Let's go to some breweries. Let's hang out in the snow, right? Like, I want to go see the snow. And it was like a day trip. We weren't going up there into the night. We're like, let's go up there for a day trip. So we drove up to Asheville, and it was magical. We got there. We parked the Jeep right there on Main Street in Asheville. I don't know what the name of that road is. Asheville Street. We parked right there.
Sounds legitimate.
Yeah. Why not? We parked right there on Main Street. We were hitting a couple of different breweries up and down Main Street. They got this like really cool little wine house that's like, it's kind of underground old speakeasy vibes. It was really cool. And when we parked the car to go there, as soon as we got out of the car, it started snowing. And I know that like a bunch of you are like, yo, bleep that. Absolutely not. I have not seen snow. I used to go when I was younger and more formidable. Before my dad passed, my dad used to take me and my brother snow skiing, like, you know, once every year or so, every other year or something like that. And we'd go out to Colorado and go out to you know, Aspen or Boulder or wherever, Copper Mountain, and we'd go snow skiing. I loved snow skiing. So, but I hadn't gone in years. I hadn't seen snow in years. And so we drove up there, and we get out of the car, and like the second we get out of the car, it starts snowing. It was a Hallmark moment. Like, it was one of those moments, judge as you will, I walked around the car, I grabbed my, at the time, girlfriend, now wife, and just kissed her. I'm like, this is romantic AF, bro. This is fantastic. And then it kept snowing.
Did you linger so you could feel the flakes fall?
Oh, 100%. I did the whole cheesy Hallmark movie setup, dude. Like, hand all the way around the waist, like the full, like, pull in where you like straighten your back up and you look down into her eyes. I did the whole thing, right?
Our first snow together, we had a snowball fight. So that checks out.
I mean, that checks out for you. That checks out. Not me. I tried to make a romance movie out of it, and it worked, by the way. Big kiss, and I'm like, let's go have some beer in the snow.
I won that snowball fight, by the way. She doesn't have that big
No easy
arm.
Victories. Yeah. No easy victories. You know. A win's a win. So we go up, and we're in Asheville, and it's nice, and we're having some patio beers in the snow. Everyone's looking at us like, what are these two morons doing outside? But again, hadn't seen snow in years. It was nice. It was fun. It was calm. It was romantic. And then it gets to be, you know, like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Not late. It's 50 minutes from our house to our favorite brewery in downtown Asheville, right? Like it's a screw it. Let's go to Asheville and have some beers kind of trip. So it gets to be like 6:30, 7 o'clock, sun's going down. We're like, all right, let's head back. Great, let's head back. Still snowing, by the way. So we get up out of Asheville, we leave, we're driving back, and dude, it is now snowing in the mountains. Snowing. Like 15 miles an hour on the interstate. You can't see more than 10, 15 feet ahead of your car, snowing. And I'm like, all right. Soon as we get out of the hills, soon as we get back down to the upstate, this will stop, right? It did not. It was that all the way home. Then we get back to the crib. No, we don't get back to the crib. We get back to Greenville, and the road that we would ordinarily take to get to our house was snowed over, and there were cars in the ditch, like people standing on the side of the road. It's like, I don't know what to do. I can't help you. I can't pull you out of there. You're down there. Like, you're just going to have to wait till this crap's over. Cars in the ditch, can't go anywhere.
Did you wave?
No. Like, you do that thing where you grab the steering wheel and you just stare straight ahead because you're like, if I look and you're like, can you help? I have to go, no. Sucks to be you, but I can't do anything to help you right now, right? I'd love to. I'm a stop and help if I can guy. But there was nothing I could do. And so we kind of kept driving, and we ended up having to take this road. I don't even know what it's called, but like it wrapped all the way around our neighborhood. You had to go all the way around and come back from the far side of Greenville back up to get to our house. And this road's kind of like through, it's off the, there's a hill on the side of it. And dude, as we were driving back into this part, like it's still snowing. It's not as bad as it was, but it's still snowing. And as I'm driving down the road, like three deer jump in front of the car, and Zoe, I rear right quarter paneled the crap out of this deer. Not my car. I hit the deer in the back right leg. And it was, you know how sometimes happens, stuff happens and it's slow motion, right? You're just like, you can see every little detail of it. I assume that's what like great quarterbacks do, right? They get the snap, they drop in the pocket, here comes Max Crosby, and all of a sudden, they just see everything on the field. It's like a movie where all the numbers and the letters and the equations start floating around. I saw this deer's eye looking at me, and I'm like, sorry, bro. Nothing I can do. You jumped in front of me, dog. I tagged the absolute out of the back right of this deer, and then I watched as I hit it. He went flying, spinning in the air, like revolving in the air, to the side of the road, which then there was about a 22-foot hill straight down, and he just down the side of that hill. I didn't see that part. All I know is that I got out of the, like, I stopped the car. I got out, I looked. He had jacked up my headlight and all that. I walked to the side of the road. I looked down, and you could see through the snow on the side of the hill, you could see the path where the deer slid down the hill, but he was gone. Like, he was gone. Then I went, the next morning, I went out to check the damage in the, because at this part it was dark. I went out to check the damage, and not only did he jack up my headlight, but Zoe, I had to, and this is gross, but not a joke, I had to pick frozen chunks of deer meat out from the headlight and the grill of my car. I had gashed him. When I say this, I'm a hunter. I've been hunting since I was a kid. I've shot and killed many deer in my lifetime. Bro, I was straight up flat out traumatized by this. Like, traumatized by this. I'm like, oh, that poor deer. Because I didn't want to kill that one. That would have felt bad for.
See, I thought you were going to say you started retching and stuff.
No. I mean, it is what it is. I've cleaned and field stripped my own deer.
How does one pick deer out of their headlight?
Slowly with your fingers.
But oh, so you did fingers.
It was made easier because since it was overnight and frozen, they were blocks of frozen deer meat.
Gotcha.
Right? Okay. Like, I probably could have taken them inside, put them in the air fryer, and had, like, deer nuggets for lunch, right? Like, they were just little and you just kind of wing them off into the yard. Like, I guess when this thaws, the crows are going to be happy. But, yeah, I was flat-out traumatized by that. So, I have hit a deer. Lonzo, shockingly, has not, despite the fact that he doesn't have a house in a yard. He has a house in a deer environment.
But, well, maybe we just get along. I don't know.
All right, we got a lot we got to get to.
Don't put that on me, okay? I'm glad I haven't hit a deer.
Trust me, as somebody who has, and especially in your car, right. I'm not rooting for it.
Right, because it could be deadly for me, too.
Yeah, so, like yeah. My car was like a small SUV. Lonzo tags one in his rig. He's probably spinning off into the woods for a couple of minutes.
I'm more worried about coming in the windshield.
There's also that.
Yeah.
All right, we got a lot we're going to get to, a lot to talk about today on the show. Our text line poll question of the day is up. I don't know about you. We talked about pettiness in sports a couple of times this week. You know, I said earlier in the week that when the Saints lost that game to the Bucks, I would have done everything in my power. I'd have had six DBs lined up to stop Mike Evans from getting 1,000 yards. And I said, to me, the definition of a rivalry is pettiness, right? You're willing to be petty to ruin the day of a person wearing the other color from you. That's the definition of a rivalry. I want to ask this. In the college football playoff Final Four, who are you rooting against? Who do you least want to see win the national championship? Lonzo just rolled his eyes, and I think that's because he thinks the Buckeyes are going to run away with this poll. But I'm not so sure about that. I'm really not. And I'll tell you why. I got an argument for all four teams. The Longhorns, because I got to tell you, there's some level of joy in annually listening to the Longhorns tell everybody they're back and they're not their back. Now, maybe you can say that they're back because they made it to the Final Four and not, you know, only two teams can make it to the dance and only one can win it. But, like, I think there's some, and on top of that, you know that even though it is their first year in the conference playing football in the conference, if Texas wins this thing, we're going to have to listen to SEC fellers out there talking about how the damn SEC is still the best conference in football. Whether you like it or not, damn it, we're the best conference in college football. Hell yeah. And that's annoying to me, all right? Keeping it a buck with you, that's annoying to me. So there's my reason to root against Texas. Every Ohio State Buckeye fan except Lonzo, sometimes a little obnoxious. Sometimes. Now, I think that's true about like most college football fan bases, but there's just something special about the Buckeye fan base. They are a fan base that if you don't want them to win, it's solely because you revel in the pain of Buckeye fans. Not Lonzo's, but all the rest of them's. Okay? Notre Dame. Is there a more elitist, entitled, arrogant fan base? And undeservedly so, by the way, unjustifiably so. Is there a more entitled, elitist, arrogant fan base in college football than Notre Dame's? That's another team that I'm like, I just don't want to see their fans happy. I just don't. And then Penn State. Now, there's a lot of reasons to dislike Penn State. Maybe you enjoy the frustration of James Franklin being unable to get anything done. Maybe you still hold, as I do, a little bit of a grudge about the handling of the Joe Paterno situation, which I think is totally fair to hold that grudge maybe forever. There's a lot of reasons. So here is my question. What team do you least, as a fan, not least think will, do you least want to win the national championship? That is our text line poll question of the day. I want you to text your answer, Longhorns, Lions, Buckeyes, or Irish, to 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663. Text your answer, Lions, Irish, Buckeyes, Longhorns, and just text that word, Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish, to 844-326-3663. Poll question of the day, which of the final four do you least want to see win the national championship? We'll tabulate your votes and let you know the winner at the end of the show. We got to talk quite a bit of NFL today. Another head coach canned yesterday. The Raiders moving on for him, Antonio Pierce. Plus, another really bad hot take from somebody with a big show. That I was like, what do you people not think, or you just need attention? All that and more coming up. We're going to have a good day. A Wednesday. On the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big show lined up for you today. Here's what we got coming up on the docket. Water cooler cheat sheet at 7 o'clock this morning. We'll give you all the stories that you need to know. 8 a.m. Ordinarily, Denton Day joins us at 7:40 on Wednesdays. But Denton Day, being the A-list celebrity that he is, has a thing. So he's going to join us on the stream at 8 a.m., which is fine by me, because that'll give us an extra couple of minutes to talk college football playoff Final Four.
It's still there.
I know.
Get rid of it.
And push, I don't even know why I do that.
Push it out of there.
That makes no sense for me to do that in that spot right there.
Where's Denton from?
Denton's from Baltimore.
Yeah, so not even close to, yeah, nah, to make
it's not
you
like,
want to do
if
that.
If Denton was like a Nebraska guy, a Chicago guy, then that would make sense. I don't know where it came from. It's just like it's rent-free. Denton Day will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the college football playoff Final Four with the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. Then at 8:40 this morning, we will get with Mark Bonetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. The Bunnies had a tough end to 2024. Real tough sledding down the end of last year. Started off 2025 with a good note. They did lose in overtime last night on the road at the Orlando Solar Bears. They are back home this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and just in time because I think the Bunnies could use a little home cooking. Get back on home ice in front of the Greenville crowd and try to get right. We'll talk with Mark Bonetti at 8:40 this morning about a little local hecky. But I want to get to something that we talked a little bit about yesterday on the show. And for those of you that are tuning in for your footballs, don't worry. We got plenty of football coming up. But I wanted to knock this out in the everybody's trying to get their life together hour of the show.
So we're not talking about Harold, are we?
We are not. Though okay. I have to tell you, Zoe, in full disclosure and clarity, yesterday the wife says, hey, can you run up to the big box store and grab us some supplies in case we get snowed in this weekend? I'm like, it's 1 inch of snow. I think we'll be okay.
She
but
sends
sure.
you for bread, and then you ask her why?
No. She she sent me for, and I'm going to use her words here, snacks. And mm-hmm. I said, what snacks? And she said, all of the snacks. And I said, that's fair. So I got sent to get TP. I did get bread, but that's only because I love peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
Okay, right.
I have renewed my love of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
You consider that a snack, probably.
Oh, hell yeah.
So she said snacks.
That's a wonderful snack.
Okay.
All right. So I got sent to the store.
Bread supply still pretty good?
Bread supply is great. Got a fresh loaf yesterday.
Okay.
Got a fresh loaf yesterday. Real good bread supply. Had all the options on the wall.
As we get closer, the bread will disappear. And here's the thing.
And milk, too. Plenty of milk.
All the people who think it only happens here, it doesn't. It happens in Ohio. Worked at grocery stores forever. It disappears probably no matter where you are. If snow is on the docket, the bread and milk are gone.
You're good today. So I went up, I got the snacks, whatever. So she said, can you go get the stuff? I said, yep, no worries. I'm in the car and I'm on the way back from the store and I am listening to Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel, our afternoon show that airs every single weekday from 3 until 7 p.m. A wonderful show filled with humor, romance, love, passion, intensity.
No, you can't say that. You can't, because you're implying. Don't do that.
I'm not implying anything.
I just want it duly noted. I had nothing to do with that.
Full of love, passion, romance. It's a wonderful show.
When the beard comes in and takes you out, you're going to know why.
Diesel's a lover.
Uh-huh.
He'll say whatever he wants. I've met his wife. He's a romancer.
I've also seen that anger in his eyes.
I'm on the way back, and I'm listening to Wire, and Cole, who is running the calls, goes, all right, we got to get a Cole in here. Let's welcome to the show.
He just said Cole, who's running the calls, said, okay, we got to get a Cole in here.
He said, we got to get a call in here. He said, let's go to Harold. And I'm like, GTFO, dog. No way. So he's, let's go to Harold. And I'm expecting, because this is me, I'm expecting one of you clowns to be calling in and going, hey, Cole, it's Harold Cox calling here on the show. But it wasn't. It was a genuinely very nice older guy, Navy vet in his 70s, named Harold. And so I'm listening to this call and I'm like, I really thought it was one of you guys crank calling their show as Harold Cox. And I was really excited to hear what one of you guys was going to say as Harry. I was pretty excited. So I'm listening. And it turns out this guy's just like a genuinely nice old Navy vet that called the show because he wanted to talk about football, right? And so I text Cole and I'm like, listen, I need you to ask this guy if he's ever gone as Harry before. And Cole did it. He's for Cole's benefit, he's like, hey, our buddy Rob Brown's listening right now, and he wants to know if you've ever gone by Harry. And the guy's like, nope, I'm Harold. I've gone by Hal, but I've never gone by Harry before. And I was like, he's like, oh, okay, Rob Brown must have mistaken you for somebody else. So I sent Cole a screenshot of the player profile of one Harold Cox. And Cole texted me back. And he goes, he said, like, I'm glad I didn't know about that. I wouldn't have been able to stop laughing about it. And then he sends me that message right there. The name of his PE teacher.
Yeah, I've heard of...
Whose name was Richard Cox.
Yeah.
Parents, when you name your children, just think for a second.
They did it on purpose.
Just think for a second.
No. They did that on purpose. That was a dad did that. Yeah, a dad did that. Come on.
So somewhere out there, back in Cole's childhood, there was a PE teacher named Richard Cox.
You act like it's that far away.
No.
He's
22.
Yeah. I mean,
no telling for sure. No telling for sure if Richard Cox is related to Harold Cox. But the Cox family is growing, is all we know. Okay? It's growing. All right.
They're big in this area.
And you know what? I can't top that joke. That's a walk-off. That's the grand slam. That's the big dong right there. We're walking off on that. I got enough time to bring it up here. Y'all, I watched the TGL last night, and it was amazing. It was so much fun, dude. I loved it. Genuinely, not me trying to sell it to you, because if I was ever going to try to sell you on something, it wouldn't be the TGL. I watched it last night.
Rob Brown.
And I loved it.
Rob Brown. I watched probably 15, 20 minutes of it. And you're right. It was pretty good.
It's awesome, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty
good. It was fun.
It was pretty good. I was a little shocked. And they explained what was underneath the greens to elevate it with the whatever they're called.
That was badass, right?
Yeah, it was
awesome.
Cool. It was.
You know, so
I don't know. I think Tiger fell asleep a couple of times, but he's getting older. So,
he is. Tiger's older than me. I just want to point that out. The TGL, for those of you that didn't watch last night, honestly, like, I think you missed out. It was cool, man. I'll tell you what I loved the most about it. And remember, going into this thing, and this is what I said, What I said yesterday was, this is a brilliant idea from golf, from Tiger and Rory and the investors who got in on this, because sports are only going to grow if you promote the superstars, and then the superstars promote the game. That's what I think gets lost in translation, right? I think that, for instance, Major League Baseball does a great job promoting the game, but the players aren't promoted. They promote, like, Juan Soto. They promote, Shohei Ohtani, and that's kind of it. They do a good job promoting the game, but not the players in it. The NBA is the exact opposite. The NBA does an excellent job of letting the players promote themselves, but the players don't promote the game. They just promote themselves. Hey, listen to our new podcast. Here's my new line of clothing. Here's my new shoe brand, whatever. Golf, I think, hit on the winning formula last night. Because what they do, they promoted the players. There was a moment, if you didn't get to watch it, I think it's worth going back and giving another listen to. There was a moment last night where, good gosh, who was it? The Scottish guy. Anyway, one of the guys, and I'm blanking on.
Rory?
No, one of the guys playing last night.
Oh, okay. Drew McIntyre.
Yes, noted PGA Tour professional Drew McIntyre, who is the only Scottish guy that Lonzo is aware of. No, Shane Lowry, Irish, not Scottish. He's going to kill me.
Someone's going to, if Odie's listening.
Shane Lowry last night stepped up and launched an absolute and entire missile into the screen. I mean, just rocked it. And he turns around and he looks in the camera and he goes, I'm the indoor Scottie Scheffler. Like, that's a, if you're a golf guy, that's a great joke, all right? And it's a joke that I've made before off a hitting tee in the, on the range. I had a drive once that I'm like, I am driving range Scottie Scheffler. On the course, I suck. But out here, I look like a million bucks. It allowed the personalities to shine through in a way that I'm now a Shane Lowry guy because of that one moment. I'm like, I like this guy. This guy's fun. He gets it. He gets it. And then golfers, I think, when it comes to professional sports, I think golfers do a better job of anybody else at promoting their sport and making their sport the centerpiece of which they're a part, not the other way around. So now, because the wife watched a little bit with me too, and she was laughing at the bleep talk back and forth on the green zone. She was like, oh, that's pretty funny. I'm like, right. And now she's got it, like I predicted, she's got a couple more guys. Wyndham Clark is one of them. She's like, hey, he's kind of cute. I'm like, yeah, he is. What do you want me to say? He's a handsome fella. She's like, and he's funny. Great. Now I'm out. Now Rob Brown. The point is, now she wants to watch the you know, whatever the next tournament is because she's a Wyndham Clark guy now. And that's awesome. So the point here is, I said yesterday that formula was going to be magnifique. It was fun. It was a fun. 2 hours went by that fast to me. The only time it felt slow was when they had the halftime intermission. All right, we'll talk more about it later in the show because I loved it personally. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio, the Fan Upstate. It is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate, a Wednesday morning edition of the show. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663. You can text us on the same number, 844-326-3663. If you'd like to come at us in that direction, your text message poll question of the day. Which Final Four team do you least wish to see win the national championship? Who are you rooting against is our question today. Text your answer to 844-326-3663. Text Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish. Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish. Text that word to 844-326-3663. And as an FYI, the way that these votes work is that the vote is tabulated by a keyword. So if you text Notre Dame, if you text Texas, if you text Ohio State, it will not count your vote. You have to text the word Longhorns, the word Irish, the word Lions, or the word Buckeyes to the show. We will tabulate those at the end of the show and tell you who the Upstate is rooting against in this one. Rooting against. I'm interested to see what that works out. Lonzo is convinced the Buckeyes are going to run away with this thing. Lonzo is convinced the Buckeyes are going to be the team that the Upstate is most rooting against in this spot. So we'll talk about that as the show continues this morning. I can come up with an argument for each. I can come up with an argument for why I'm voting against all four teams. I am going to start with Texas. I don't want Texas to win it. And I don't want Texas to win it for one very simple reason. I don't want Texas to win it because conference guy is going to make it all about him. This team has been in this conference for one season. This team has had the benefits of being in this conference for one season. And the SEC guys are pinning their hopes and dreams on Texas. Because as you all know, if an SEC fan wins it, or if an SEC team wins it, all the teams in the conference get to claim co-national championship status. It's real simple. because I don't want SEC guy calling into the show for another year talking about how amazing they are when, because I've also spent a year saying, to me, it is very clear the Southeastern Conference is the best conference in football. But by that, I mean deepest. The teams at the top aren't exponentially better than everybody else the way that they have been in years gone by. They're good. But the couple of teams at the top are as good as the couple of teams at the top at a couple of conferences. It's not this dominant force of nature that it used to be. But if Texas sneaks in and they win this thing, then you're going to have to hear from that guy for another year. That's why I don't want Texas to win it. On top of that, there's some mild pleasure that I get in listening to Texas fans every year on the radio popping off about how we are so bleeping back, baby. We're back. Texas is back. The Horns are back. Everybody getting hooked. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things, like with so many teams,
I just realized now I can do this.
Why?
Direct competition.
That's hate speech.
Direct competition.
It's hate speech. This to me, I think that for me, when it comes to Texas, it's number one, it's SEC guy for sure. But aside from it being SEC guy, it is also the thought that I like when teams find new and inventive and creative ways to break their team's hearts. I'm a Saints fan. I don't know what you want. That's how it works. The Yankees going to having all the momentum and then losing the World Series was the most new. You know what the Yankees do next year? They go to 7 games in the World Series and then lose, right? New and inventive and creative ways to break their team's hearts. Always fun to me. Ohio State. I love Lonzo. Ohio State fans can be a bit obnoxious. It's the online variety. But that's where I do most of my interaction with fans from around the country, is online. I also host a nationally syndicated show on Saturdays, and we get some kickback, some feedback on that show for sure. But the online Buckeye fans are by and large obnoxious most of the time. Texas fans are too, just so we're clear. But there's something special about Ohio State. There really is. Because there's something special about Ohio State, watching their fan base melt, if nothing else, watching their fan base melt down online is going to be great. It'll be great. However, I will say this to counter argument that I'm also kind of rooting for the Buckeyes to win the Natty for two reasons. Number one, because I'm good with the great one Lonzo rolling up in here after winning a Natty. I'm good with the great one Zoe rolling up in here after winning a Natty, feeling good about himself, bringing those high vibes. I'm down for that. But that's reason number one of two. The second reason that I'm, in a way, I think kind of rooting for the Buckeyes to win the Natty is because, do you remember last offseason and through this season and through rivalry weekend and after rivalry weekend when Ohio State lost to Michigan? Do you remember the conversation that was going on where Lonzo told me that he genuinely believed that there was a large swath of Buckeye fans that were going to be calling for Ryan Day's job if he lost to Michigan again? And I said, well, that is certifiably insane. That's a silly thing to think and believe. If Ryan Day wins the Natty, do you understand the healthy Zion Williamson level amounts of energy I will bring to each and every individual dunk that I can dunk on those fans? Every one of them will catch that smoke from me. And yes, I kind of look forward to handing it out. I kind of look forward to hunting down, metaphorically speaking, the Buckeye fans that wanted Ryan Day gone if Ryan Day brings them a Natty, and going, you know what? Turns out maybe you don't know ball that good. Maybe you don't know ball that good. I told you, this guy's got that dog in him. Now, if he doesn't win, specifically if he loses to Texas, I'm intrigued to hear what happens at that point. I still think it's ludicrous to fire the guy. But we'll see. We'll see. As far as the Irish go, again, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish fans are the Dallas Cowboy fans of college football. They are the most entitled and arrogant and entirely unjustified in feeling such fan base in college football. Notre Dame fans act as if the college football world should circle around them. Notre Dame fan, this is the whole concept of not joining a conference, which again, I don't fault them for. If NBC is going to pay them a gazillion dollars a year to be featured the same way that other conferences are featured in television contracts elsewhere, if that's the case, I don't blame Notre Dame for taking that cash money, man. I don't blame them. So because of that, I can't blame Notre Dame for taking the money, but the fans get obnoxious about it when they feel like they are the definition of college football fandom. I've been to South Bend, Indiana, and I've said this a number of times. Of all the road trips I've gone on to go see college football stadiums nationally, Notre Dame was my favorite. The people were incredible. The stadium is beautiful. The campus is picturesque. It's a beautiful place. The people were beyond kind there. I loved it. They're a little entitled. They're a little obnoxious. And to watch that fan base take a hit would be very enjoyable to me. And then there's Penn State. Penn State, again, I am going to, for a very long time, hold a grudge against Penn State fans, respectfully to Penn State fans. I am going to hold a grudge for a long time against Penn State fans because of the way that the Joe Paterno situation was handled at large. I think it's gross. I still think it's gross. I think the fact that after all the details came out, that the fact that Penn State fans continued to fight for the legacy of Joe Paterno when we found out what had happened there in Happy Valley. I think when the Penn State fans went out of their way to try to maintain the legacy of Joe Paterno, I got turned off to Penn State fans at large. And one of my dear friends here in town, Penn State guy. And like, he loves his team. And he was one of the few Penn State fans. It's like, yeah, white out that mural. Get him off of there. Let's pretend like he never existed. But he is the minority in my experience so far. And yeah, taking a page out of Lonzo's book and holding a grudge for a very long time on that. I thought it was gross. I thought the fact that when college football was trying to give Penn State the out by saying, hey, we're going to let you wipe the slate. We're going to say that was all about one guy. That was all about one guy. That was all about one person. And you guys can go ahead and separate yourselves from that and go, hey, one guy. Well, two guys. Two guys at Penn State went through this. Two guys from Penn State did all this. We gave Penn State the out to separate themselves from that program, to separate themselves from that guy, from those guys. We gave them that opportunity, and Penn State fans didn't take it. They decided that they wanted to hang on to the legacy of Joe Paterno. And that was gross to me. That was gross to me. That's where I checked out. That's where I was like, no, I'm good. I hope you never win another ball game. Certainly not a natty. So there's my reasons for being anti all four teams. We're being petty on the show today. Be petty with us, won't you? Which team do you not want to see win the Natty the most? Text Longhorns, text Lions, text Irish, or text Buckeyes to 844 866-326-3663. Lions, Longhorns, Irish, or Buckeyes. Text the word to 844-326-3663. Let's talk college football, ladies and gentlemen. And we will continue to do that. We get your water cooler cheat sheet coming up next. We got Denton Day at 8 o'clock. We got Mark Benetti, Voice of the Swamp Rabbits, at 840. We'll talk some more golf, all of that and more coming up after Lonzo Shefties your ears with this sports flash.
You know, that story so old, people don't know what that means anymore. The number one men's college basketball team took their first loss yesterday as Tennessee fell on the road to Florida 73-43. Ooh, that hurts. Volunteers shot just 21% from the floor and 4 of 29 from deep while being out-rebounded 55-38. The loss is the worst by a number one team in more than 50 years. Clemson Tiger basketball team fell further from the top 25 with a road loss to unranked Louisville last night, 74-64. Brad Brownell said the environment rattled the Tigers, who shot 40% from the floor and 33% from deep. Clemson drops to 12-4 on the season. Still a winning record, though. Tune in tonight at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus the Citadel. Right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.